All right, that was Jerod Mayo talking about the excitement the team is feeling. Everybody's got a little pep in their step now that Drake May is the starter. He'll be the starting quarterback this afternoon against the Houston Texans, in case you've been living under a rock for the past 5 days. And that brings us now, as you hear the music, to our emotional roller coaster. It's been an emotional week, I'd say, with all of this news. Chris Scheim, I mean, listen, you want emotions, there it is right there. This is the culmination of his life's work, it seems like. Mega, what's the poll question today?
Hot poll question today.
Hot off the presses.
Hot
Let's go.
Poll question. What does a successful day for Drake May look like? Our options were 200-plus passing yards. That got 27% of votes. One or more touchdowns, 20% of votes. Patriots win, about 34% of votes, and zero interceptions.
Good job, Chris Collinsworth.
Got 19% of votes, which surprised me that it was that high, because I thought that in going with the Drake May experience, you're going to live with some interceptions.
Yes.
So it concerns me a little bit that like 19% of respondents are like, hey, just don't throw it to the other team. That might be some of what you see today. For me personally, I'm going with touchdown. I want to see at least a touchdown. I like to see more than one touchdown from him.
Does it have to be a passing touchdown? Can it be rushing? It can be either.
If it's a design run, if
just
it's
get
a
in
keeper,
the end zone.
Totally fine by me. It's just I want to see the capability of this offense to score and not on short yardage, you know, or not on just a short field like they did last week. Mm-hmm. I want to see them score more than 20 points. I don't know if today's the day, but if they do that, I'll be very happy. Like, if my bar, I think, is very low, and I just can't go with the 200-plus rushing yards because or passing yards because that
200
could be,
rushing yards would be quite
that,
a
that would be insane.
That'd be
that
Lamar
would be,
Jackson.
That
numbers.
Would be really insane. 200-plus passing yards, like, you could just be chasing so hard in the second half that I'm just not going to look at that.
Yeah, for me, I think the zero interceptions thing is crazy. To me, I think the most shocking thing for me is 33% of people would say success is a Patriots win. Like, that's more people than I would expect the Patriots to win in the first place. Like, I never would have picked the Patriots need to win in order for it to be a successful day for Drake May. To me, it's kind of a combination of the pass yards and the touchdowns. Like, I need to see more than like a $150, right around the $175 mark for me is kind of my over-under.
You want to see the offense moving.
Yeah, I want to see, most importantly, is long, sustained drives. Can you take the ball from your own 20 and get down inside the red zone and then punch it in? Like, if you can do that once or twice during this game and then have multiple other sustained drives where you get field goals or something along those lines, I'm in. Like, that's all I need. I just need those sustained drives and maybe a moment where I'm like, ooh, that's the talent I was looking for in Drake May.
Yeah, I think moments, that's going to be part of it. Like, is there going to be a throw where you look at and say,
yes,
yeah, this is it. All right, he's not quite there yet, but this is something you can build off of. I clicked on 200-plus passing yards, and the only reason I did that is because that's the only thing on the list that Jacoby Brissett never did.
True.
He threw a touchdown pass. He had games with zero interceptions. He won a game. The only thing he never did was 200 passing yards. Now, when you look at the odds for Drake May, and I heard you talking about this with Fitzy yesterday when I was driving around Scheim, it's 166.5 yards. That's what it is on FanDuel. I don't think that's moved. That over-under, you have even odds there on either side. The passing touchdowns for May, over-under 1.5. Under is plus 106. Overs minus 138. For completions, it's 17.5. The plus money's on the over there. And for attempts, it's over-under 28.5. So, basically, what Vegas is saying, and I know this is to get action, it's not necessarily a prediction of what's going to happen, is you're going to get about 177 yards with a touchdown on 18 of 29 passing with a touchdown and an interception, by the way, which there's for interceptions, Drake May is yes, minus 146 and no, plus 112. And if you look at those numbers and add them all up, that's very close to what Jacoby Brissett did against the Niners. He was 19 of 32, 168 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. And I want more than that. I'm expecting more than that. I would like him to do more than that. And really, I think that, you know, him getting out there and making plays, that's going to be big. And you're going to know it when you see it. But statistically, if we're just talking numbers, I want to see him, if they get down against this team, I want to see him throw them back into the game. And I think that's something you never could really count on Brissett to do. And I think that's the position they're going to be in here. I don't think they're going to be leading in this game for most of it. They're going to probably fall behind and have to get back in offensively. And I think the only way to do that is to throw and for May to get into the 200. So that's what I want to see. That's what I would consider a successful day.
So I have a little nugget for you. You brought up FanDuel. There's an awesome prop on FanDuel that I actually love. If you're talking about Drake May having a successful day, there is a prop on FanDuel. CJ Stroud and Drake May to both have 25-plus completions in this game is 24-1. It is a huge number, but at the same time, Megan and Mego pointed out earlier, if the Patriots are playing from behind, which I think we all expect they will be, they're going to have to throw the football. And if you're getting any of those short completions, you're going to pile them up, and that number is just going to go up and up and up. And so hitting 25 for Drake May is very much in play. And, I mean, Stroud's done it in back-to-back weeks. So that's not an issue at all, in my opinion, because I think you can throw on this Patriots defense where I think they're going to struggle to run the football, the Houston Texans being. So I think that is if you're looking for an interesting prop this week, I think that's a very interesting take at 24-1.
I might just be like, I don't know, crazy at this point because of what we've had to watch the last several weeks.
Sure.
I don't care if it's like two interceptions, no. If he's throwing 200 plus yards, if he's throwing touchdowns. What I don't want to see is an approach that's as conservative as what we've seen. Like, they got to cut him loose a little bit. They got, as we said at the top of the show, they have to show that there is the threat of being unpredictable and the different reads and having him be able to use his legs and having that be a real threat, not going this like piece by piece and offense where so far I've been watching this team and I can't walk away saying there's really anything about the AVP offense that I like. I can't find one bit of it that I like so far.
So just for reference, like if he goes out and has a Jordan Love day from a couple weeks ago where he comes out, throws like 250 plus, two touchdowns and three picks, you're fine with that? You don't care about the three picks because he's having success
three
otherwise?
Three picks to me is tough. Okay. Three picks is tough. Two picks I can live
with.
So
like
with.
2-2 is fine? So yeah. Like 250,
yeah.
Two touchdowns, two picks.
To me, that's like
fine.
That's kind of like cool. What I think the Drake May experience in his rookie season should be.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think big plays, a lot of yards, a lot of fun, but there's also going
to
be some silly mistakes.
So afraid of him making mistakes out there.
Yeah,
like,
I'd rather
see him freelance and be out there and not like force things completely, but not when people, when 20% of respondents say it's a success if he doesn't throw an interception. I got to get away from this conservative approach. It is not for me to watch.
Good quarterbacks across the league make dumb decisions all the time. Caleb Williams in this game, who's very talented, by the way, if you haven't already noticed, threw a brutal pick. You've seen Josh Allen throw brutal picks many times. You saw Jordan Love falling down in the end zone throw a pick six last week. So good quarterbacks make mistakes like that, and it happens across football, but that kind of comes with the boom, bust,
high risk, high reward. No biscuit.
Yes. Yeah, go big or go home, as Johnny Tsunami once told me. And that's how I live my life, and that's how I want Drake May to live his life.
Yeah, and listen, May, whether he has a good game today or a bad game today, and I think that if he does have a bad game today, people are going to be disappointed. The people at the game will talk about it, you know, on Monday and Tuesday. But it's not going to be some sort of cataclysmic, oh my God, they picked the wrong guy, this isn't the way to go, you know, they should need to be back in the draft Shadur next year, or anything like that. Like, I don't think, and even I love Shadur, but like, I don't think that's going to be anything that you hear after this game, no matter how bad things may get. And let's be honest here, this is a Houston Texans defense that is going to make Drake May's life difficult today. I don't know if they're going to get to him. I don't know how often he's going to get sacked, but they're going to speed him up. He's going to have to make quick decisions here. And for all the talk about, you know, it's the NFL and guys are going to get hit and you can't put them in bubble wrap and blah, 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 I understand all that and I agree with it. And I was fine with them playing him against San Francisco. But I do think that there is a difference between a pass rush like this one and a pass rush like the Dolphins last week, who could barely get to Jacoby Brissett, made Bedarian Lowe look like, you know, Matt Light out there. So with that in mind, Is there anything that you can take away for, like, let's say he goes out there and does have a bad game. Is that going to carry over? Like, are you guys going to be carrying that in the next week too, or we give him a little bit of leash here?
Well, define bad game. Like, you talking like he comes out and Nathan Peterman's all over himself where he has like
something like that.
85
yeah, I mean, not
yards
to, not to speak
picks.
It into existence, but let's say it's a pretty dysfunctional looking debut here. Is that going to be something that carries out into the week? Are we going to be second guessing the entire Drake May experience?
Well,
I know you won't be shy.
Well, I think it depends, right? It depends how many moments you get compared to how poor the performance is. Like we talked about earlier, like Wiggy and I have mentioned all week, it's just if you see moments where you're like, wow, this kid's really, really talented, he's really good, we can build off that, then Mistakes are going to be fine. It's going to happen. It's his first game ever. I watched Caleb Williams play his first game, and he looked like a fish in the wrong pond. Like, it was tough for him. And yet now he is slicing and dicing his way down the field constantly. And so if there's moments where I can see growth, it's okay if he struggles. Like, it's going to happen. You're facing a 4-1 football team who's expected to be competing for a Super Bowl. That's just going to happen.
I agree. And the responses to the poll that I put out that were like, he's able to walk away at the end of the game. Like, I think that's a little dramatic.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me one thing that would make me look at this and say, what an utter complete disaster, it would just be if he, like, RG3s himself or something.
Yes.
You know, I don't think that that's, I'm knocking on wood, I don't think that's going to happen. But that's really the, other than that, there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that whatever you see here today is going to be, if it's bad, it's going to be looked at as, hey, you know what? It took 5 weeks for him to get out there. These other rookie QBs who you saw this week didn't get off to great starts either, and they all, you know, 5 weeks later all look pretty good. I think there's going to be a lot of leash here, and if he's good, I mean, if he's good, it's going to be a party all week long in Foxborough. Like, there's no question about it. If he's good, if he looks good, especially against this team, and this sort of speaks to what Keith was talking about, and you brought this up earlier, Shime, if he's good and can run this offense and make plays and score points against this Texans defense that shut down Josh Allen last week for the most part, I mean, come on.
If he lights it up, Arcad, I am going to come in tomorrow like covered in maple syrup. I am going to be... I am going to be over the moon with excitement.
Yeah, it's going to be, it has the potential to be that kind of thing. And God help Chris Curtis if that's the case. All right, Mego, beat it, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks so much. Great work as always. We'll hear from you next week as well as you make your way down to Gillette Stadium to cover May Day. In the meantime, here's Chris Schein to tell you what's trending. And when we come back, we'll get our inactives and let you know who's playing, who isn't, all around the league and in this game today. It's all coming up right after this. WEEI Football Sunday, Christian Arcan, Chris Schein. Mego had to go, but we're here with you until right before kickoff as we get ready to hear about the inactives. We know one already, and that's Ramondre Stevenson. That's going to have big ramifications in this game and how they run the offense, I think. We talked about it briefly. We'll get back into that in just a minute, and we'll see who else is or isn't playing. There was a long list of players questionable on the Friday injury report, Chime. But first, let's go to the phones here, 617-779-7937. If you'd like to join the conversation, phone lines are open. If you're on your way down there to Gillette right now and have some thoughts on what you're going to see, Drake May and the offense in general, feel free to chime in and let us know how you're feeling on your way down there. Right now, we'll go out of state to Jay in North Carolina, who I'd imagine is a big Drake May fan. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. This is the Broken Record checking in.
Okay.
And I wonder if you guys could let me hear your comments, because I don't have live streaming here. But the thing is, you coming out of your show, you made two pertinent comments. The gal said, cut him loose. And that's what that's let the guy breathe, let him go. And the second comment you made was the speed of the game is going to be perhaps May's undoing. But the thing is, my bugbear, and I say, I'm a broken record, the offensive line sucks. And they got to protect the guy. They didn't do it for Mac Jones. Do it for Drake May. As the Patriots go, as the offensive line goes, so go the Patriots.
Well, Jay, you're in North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch any of UNC last year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so one thing you'll notice with UNC, their offensive line also sucks. Like, they were terrible. And yet Drake May was still awesome for 2 years behind a bad UNC offensive line. So that's not what I'm concerned about. I think the most concerning thing for me heading into this game is just how Alex Van Pelt calls it, right? If it's the exact same vanilla crap we got with Jacoby Brissett through the first 5 weeks, I become nervous because there's no scenario in which I feel like they're going to cut him loose. They're going to utilize his legs and his athletic ability and his arm talent. Whereas if there are different play calls, if you're seeing read option, if you're seeing different screens and different attacks down the field, then that's when I'm really going to get excited, and I have no fears whatsoever with Drake May.
Are you comparing the NFL defensive line to the opponents of the North Carolina?
No, college? It's more so just the situation.
He was a little bit. I think he was a little bit there, Jay, in North Carolina, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's more so just the fact that he deals with pressure, right? Like, he understands the timing when he's getting pressured and how to release the ball, get rid of the football, escape pressure, and make something happen. It's more so kind of the relationship I was making there.
Well, I'd say this.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Thanks for the call, and thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you. And you can pop him on hold there, Jacob, if you want, so we can hear what we have to say about his call. But I do think that we asked the question, I asked Curran this, what do you think he learned? One thing I think he probably did learn or is in the process of learning from Jacoby Brissett is timing in the pocket, sensing the rush, understanding that it's different in the NFL, because it is. And Jacoby Brissett's a guy who's been sacked 100 million times. He led the league in getting sacked like his first year as a starter with the Colts. He was getting sacked all over the place, and that was behind the same offensive line that got Andrew Luck knocked out of the league and made him retire at 29 or whatever that was. So, like, you know, he's used to it. He knows what that's like. He was throwing right in the face of pressure, throwing as he was getting hit. Like, his timing, whether you think he's a good quarterback or not, at this point in his career, I don't think a lot of people do think he is, but he does have the timing down pretty well. He did hold on to the ball a lot, and I think that some of those pressure numbers, like, oh, he's been pressured more than any other quarterback.
It's because he held on to the football.
Against the Dolphins and the Niners, I thought the O-line held up okay. I don't think they were great, but Nick Bosa didn't get to him. And last week against Miami, he had lots of time to throw. And I think when you saw him with time to throw, that really exposed how much Brissett's kind of fallen off as a quarterback in this league, certainly as a starting quarterback. And I think that that's one thing that I'm interested in seeing with May is, can he sense the rush coming? Can he sense someone coming up on the blind side? Is he going to know when to take off and run? Is he going to know when to step up? Is he going to know when to make a move and throw the ball early or spike it when he has to or try and fit it into a small window? All those things in a real game here that he's starting from start to finish, not garbage time against the Jets, where he did get beat up a little bit there too.
Yep.
But you also saw him, you know, move around a little bit and do those things. Can he do it for a full game? I'm interested in seeing that, and I'm interested in seeing how much of that he may have picked up from Jacoby Brissett, because let's be honest, there's not a lot of things you saw from Brissett that you liked,
no,
that you thought, ooh, I hope Drake May can do that when he's out there, except for sensing the rush and getting away from it. I think that's one thing he could stand to learn from Brissett.
Yeah, I think Drake May will be even better at Brissett than Brissett at that. Like, I think there is a very strong likelihood that he is. You can say that it's coming from rose-colored glasses because I love Drake May more than anybody in the tri-state area. I get it. But at the same time, I'm confident in his ability. And there's already some good news leaking out of Gillette, it feels like, right now. Jonathan Jones over at CBS just released an article talking about how sources have told them that you should expect far more play-action passes with Drake May today. Far
really?
More. Yeah, there's an expectation that there's going to be more play-action passes with Drake May, which also leads me to believe that there's going to be RPOs involved, which is something I've wanted. Even with Jacoby Brissett, like, I felt like you could have run RPOs because it allows for you to freeze the defense at the line of scrimmage for even a second and then decide, do I give it to the running back or do I throw the football? I think that's one of the things Aaron Rodgers over the years has been supremely good at. You don't have to be a mobile quarterback in order to run RPO. And so I'm very excited for what the offense might bring today. It was one of the things I was most nervous about heading into the weekend, but hearing something like this and just kind of looking back at quotes from Alex Van Pelt where he's like, yeah, mm-hmm. I had more stuff on the play sheet that I would have liked to call, but I just can't. I think there's an opportunity here that for the Patriots offense to surprise a lot of people.
Now, speaking of the Patriots offense, we don't have the inactives yet, but Doug Kye just a few minutes ago tweeted this. He said, don't expect to see Javon Baker or Tyquan Thornton today.
Yeah, I saw that they weren't in warm-ups. Which is interesting, but I also saw old friend Mike Cadlick say that all three quarterbacks are active today.
Really?
Yes, are healthy and active, including Joe Milton, who's been on inactive for 5-6 weeks, whatever that is.
Right, so. But as the emergency third QB, he'd be able to still play. That's weird. So he's not going to be in inactive, we don't think.
No.
That's interesting. Also, Kite has Joe Cardona listed on Friday's injury report with a calf injury. The team's website lists him out with a personal matter, not injury related. They signed Tucker Addington to the practice squad on Friday and elevated him yesterday. So no Cardona today. We know that for sure. No Ramondre Stevenson. We also know that for sure. And we're just waiting now. Unless, Jacob, was that the siren to say that the inactives are out? I don't see them.
No, three QBs active siren.
The three QB active siren. Okay, good.
Fair enough.
We got to make sure we got our siren straight here because not sure about that one. But okay, there you go. You know what I'm excited for? Just while we have a minute, while we're waiting for the inactives, the jerseys. I'm excited for these jerseys.
My Drake May jersey is the classic red. So
really?
It's destiny that they're wearing red today in his first career start.
Yeah, that's gonna look pretty nice out there.
So good.
I'm excited for it. I mean, listen, I remember those old jerseys when that's what they wore, and it was not a good time to be a Patriots fan in those days before they went over to the Bledsoe Blues.
But on a quick jersey tangent, would you like them to bring back the like a version of those Bledsoe Blues at any point? Like, because I think the vintage jerseys across the league
badly
are
would like
awesome.
Them to do that. I hate their jerseys right now.
I couldn't agree with you
now
more.
Blow, and I would really so like to see them go full time back to the way things used to be. Same with the Eagles and like the Kelly Green,
or
and
like
I know
the Broncos last week with the orange. Oh, those were
how
so
great
good.
Was that? Oh
so
my God,
good.
That looks so good. I'd watch a game if they had those jerseys. I'd watch them every week. And I think that's you know partially just me being an old guy and thinking about the good old days.
Yeah, but
when
retro's
I grew up watching
in
football.
Right now. Like even
look,
when you talk about
look
normal
better.
Clothes, it's
they
in.
Just look better. That's
yes.
all there is to it. They look better than the ones they have now. It's not really anything different than that. It's a solid color. It's a bright solid color with a cool looking helmet, and that's really all you need. A bright solid color and a cool looking helmet, and the Patriots are going to have that today, and that's really all I'm looking at. Same with the Seahawks. Oh. Those old Seahawks jerseys, the old Eagles jerseys, the old Chargers jerseys with the powder blue. If you have a bright solid color,
powder blue is so hot.
And a cool-looking helmet that sort of offsets the rest of the jersey. That's all you need. And they've gone so far in the other direction over the years, trying to add all this stuff and make it look all different. It's just like, stick with what works. Stick with what's easy. Stick with the classic stuff here. That's all I'm asking.
I couldn't.
And they're
I couldn't
doing that
more.
Today. And, so there you go.
Quick, not Patriots inactives related, but around the NFL inactives related. The Colts have decided to start Joe Flacco today over Anthony Richardson. They're giving him another week before putting him back on the field to heal
from
that
oblique
injury.
That's going to hurt his MVP chances this year, I think.
Yeah, I think those are kind of out the window. I got to be completely honest. I think I could still cash in my bet for like 65 cents out of the $25 I bet on it. But, you know, it's okay.
Yeah,
I'll
it's
live
right.
to fight another day.
Better than my bet of the Jags on the money line, which is not looking too good.
Not
right
looking
now.
Good at all. Caleb my Williams God. Has been awesome in this game.
Second half, they come out with that long run, and then the guy fumbles. I was just like, well, there you go.
ETN also questionable to return in this one for the Jags as well.
Yeah, unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Just like my Buffs last night, who almost completed the cut. Did you stay up and watch that one, by the way?
I did not. No, I didn't see that. How did that end for you?
I may or may not have fallen asleep several times in the second half trying to stay up and watch it because the game went on until like 1:30 in the morning. But yeah, it was a tough finish there. And also they lost Travis Hunter went out with an injury, so that was also
might hurt his chances to be number one overall.
Me for the as a Buffs fan and also for a Patriots fan hoping that they draft the kid because that's too bad. But a fun college football day yesterday for sure.
Yeah, that Penn State USC game was good.
Penn State had
to battle back in that one.
The Ohio State game was very good. There was a lot of good games last night.
The Alabama game,
during
too.
During the day, for sure. Alabama was a good one. Yes, absolutely. By the way, Joe Mixon is playing. He's expected to play. I think that's one that you can look at. The Texans and their offense, which we talked about, has not been that good, has also been without their leading rusher for the last couple of weeks, and having him back, I think, is going to be big for them. He's a big, tough runner, tough guy to bring down, and the Patriots have shown that they can be susceptible to that. When that happens. All right, do we have them? We got the official inactives. All right, I am refreshing. Shime, hit me.
Here are the inactives for your New England Patriots. Javon Baker, Tyquan Thornton, Joe Milton, Ramondre Stevenson, Joe Cardona, Laden Robinson, Eric Johnson.
Okay, there you go.
So nothing too surprising. The Cardona one came in late here, but he was on the injury report. Tyquan Thornton's probably the most surprising there. He's out. Javon Baker has been out for a while. Joe Milton is the third quarterback, the inactive, but he can be the emergency quarterback. Ramondre we knew about. And then Robinson and Johnson weren't going to start on the offensive line anyways, but they are inactive for this game.
So Thornton, is this a healthy scratch situation? Because he wasn't on the list this week, was he?
No, it seems like this is a healthy scratch situation, which is surprising. So maybe because KJ Osborne, I believe, was inactive last week.
He was a healthy scratch last week. Yeah,
and so maybe they're swapping the two. They feel like KJ Osborne might provide a little bit more than Tyquan Thornton. We also have the Houston Texans inactives, if you'd like these.
Okay.
Robert Woods, who's been injured for them for a while. Kamari Lassiter, their cornerback, who's been pretty good.
Their rookie out of Georgia, who I like. But, he's been starting for them as a second-round pick out of Georgia, and he's a good player. But that's a vulnerable secondary. That's a secondary that you can pass on, that you can, if you can withstand the pass rush and get the ball out. Like, those safeties don't impress me that much, and their top corner now, who's a rookie, is not playing today. So I think that's an area with Drake make and try and exploit.
Well, and speaking of the safeties, Jimmy Ward also inactive for the Houston Texans.
Go.
Nick Brocker, the guard, inactive, and then Rashad Weaver as well on the defensive line. So small inactives list for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, not a whole lot to work with there. Obviously, Nico Collins is out. He's their leading receiver, probably their best offensive player so far to start the year. And I say that even including Stroud and Diggs and the rest of those guys. Who do you think is going to be the main focal point of the offense there for Houston that the Patriots are going to have to take away?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Joe Mixon is going to be the important one here because Bobby Slowick loves to run the football, especially on first and second down, because C.J. Stroud has been a legitimate alien on third down. His percentages are insane. And so they can just afford to run the football, and that's what they want to do. So the New England Patriots have been good at stopping the run for the majority of this season. I expect them to focus on that and limit Joe Mixon. And then after that, I think you're going to have to worry about not Tank Dell, not Stephon Diggs. I actually think it's going to be Dalton Schultz. That's where the Patriots are the weakest at covering tight ends. Their linebackers are not great in coverage. I don't think their safeties have been all that great in coverage on tight ends this season as well. And so Dalton Schultz, to me, could be a massive problem for you in the passing game.
Yeah, the Patriots have had a hard time with these tight ends for sure against the Jets. Those two guys whose names I don't even remember
anymore, but they killed you.
Conklin and Riker, thank you. Yeah, they were all over you. Who can forget the George Kittle, the Hulk slamming three guys to get that one touchdown? And last week it wasn't as bad, but yeah, I think that a guy like Schultz, he's a talented player. He's a big target and someone that they haven't really unlocked that much so far this year. So yeah, I mean, listen, Steph Diggs is going to demand the ball. He always does. Dell's interesting because Dell last year was a really explosive player and a guy who could get in the end zone, get open, catch everything, and obviously he had a tough offseason. He got shot in the offseason and has been recovering from that, but he's lost a step, I think. He's not been quite as good this year, and fantasy owners I know are always complaining about him every Monday, how he hasn't been delivering like he was last season. So we'll see. We'll see what Stroud's plan is to get that going. I think this is a big game for the defense, who has been maybe unfairly maligned for some of these games recently. They've been on the field a lot, and partially because the offense has been very quick with these three and outs, turnovers, things like that, things that Drake May is going to have to try and limit here.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they operate here. I'm excited, and I'm starting to become anxious as we get closer to game time, Arcand. I got to be honest with you. It's been all excitement to this point. Now that it's finally here, I'm starting to get a little anxious, and I don't know how to handle it.
Well, just take deep breaths, you know, just like
Lamont's
class.
I need a brown paper bag.
Right? Like, you know, just that's all you got to do. It's no big deal. I think that, in general, I look at this inactives list, and I don't see anything other than Stevenson,
which
we already
knew. I'm kind of surprised Thornton is a healthy scratch, because I feel like if Drake May was going to unlock anybody, it might have been Tyquan Thornton down the field, right?
Yeah, and listen, there was one time in the night, I think it was the Niners game, where some of the only gains they had was because Thornton beat his man, and there was pass interference. You know, like that was they had a couple of big chunk plays like that, and I feel like a nice cheap gain like that for someone like May throwing it up in one-on-one coverage. You know, like that's what good quarterbacks
too.
Do. They do that. They just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a shot here, and either it gets caught, it gets broken up, or maybe there's pass interference. Maybe it gets intercepted, obviously, but maybe there'll be a pass interference, and you give your wide receiver a chance to beat the guy and the defensive back a chance to panic. With the secondary that's a little shaky this week, I'm kind of surprised to see that too. Not that I think Tyquan Thornton's going to go out there and make a bunch of plays,
but
he may give you that opportunity. At least.
And Drake May's the gunslinger type, where if he sees one-on-one coverage with a fast guy running down the field, he'll take the shot. Whether it ends up a catch, a touchdown, or a pick, or an incomplete pass, like he'll take the risk. And so to me, to take the fastest guy you have off the field is a bit of an interesting choice.
Yeah, that is interesting. All right, with Laydon Robinson out then, that means that it looks like your starting offensive line today is going to be Vedarian Lowe, City So, Nick Leverett, Zach Thomas, maybe?
No, it'll probably be Michael Jordan, right?
Or no, Michael Jordan, right. Yeah, of course.
So, Vedarian Lowe, Michael Jordan, Nick Leverett, Mike Onwenu, and then who's the right tackle from last week? DeMontre Jacobs?
Oh, and then Jacobs at right tackle? Okay, that makes sense then. Yeah, so with Robinson out, you kick Onwenu inside. You have Jacobs at right tackle, Lowe at left tackle, and, Leverett in the middle.
So, for the first time, it'll be the same offensive line in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was the best offensive line game that the Patriots have had so far last week against Miami, which in part may be because it was against Miami, who doesn't have a very fearsome pass rush, I don't think, unlike this Houston Texans team. Now, let's talk about this pass rush a little bit before we have to go to break here. They speed up most of the guys they play against. Can Drake May in his first game afford to get sped up against a strong rush?
Yeah, so look, I think this Houston defense is a little overrated. You said it earlier in the show, and people have been saying it all week, but when you look at the top pressure teams in football, they're not even in the top five. It's the sacks and those numbers, yeah, sure, but they also played a guy like Caleb Williams, who at the time was, week two or week three, and he was standing in the pocket. I think he had 7 sacks in that game because he was standing in the pocket holding the football for a really long period of time, and the Bears' offensive line just looked putrid because he wasn't throwing the football because he was a little panicked in the backfield. And so I don't expect that from Drake May today. I expect the ball to be out pretty quickly, and when he doesn't see something down the field, him to just take it and run. Because I think that's kind of the advantage he has, is just he is far more mobile than people give him credit for. He had 16 rushing touchdowns in college. He had over 1,000 yards rushing in 2 years or something like that. And so I think it's very likely that you're going to see Drake May get 3-step drops. If his first read, maybe second read isn't there, he just tucks it and runs, which is another reason on a side note why I love his rushing total prop over this week. So I don't think that he will be quite as sped up as people think he will be.
All right. From your lips to God's ears there, Chris Scheim. That is the voice of Chris Scheim. Scheim Time, you can hear him every morning on with the Greg Hill Show. And speaking of the Greg Hill Show, coming up next, we will have Coach Wiggy's Keys to Victory here for your New England Patriots. That's coming up right after this. All right. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Christian Arkin, Chris Scheim here with you right until kickoff, basically taking you up until 1 o'clock. We got our keys to the game with Wiggy here coming up in just a minute. But I just wanted to point this out. Joe Cardona is inactive today. The last surviving captain that's playing at all is Dietrich Wise. What's going to happen to him today? David Andrews out, Bentley out, Brissett benched, Jabril Peppers in trouble, Joe Cardona out with an injury. Dietrich Wise is your last remaining captain. And I heard you talking about this yesterday. I mean, the Madden curse, the SI curse, all the curses rolled into one here when you get named the captain. Maybe it's the curse of the C. Now that they're putting the C on the jerseys, like that angered the football gods somehow, because that is every single person that's had it so far on this Patriots team has had some sort of big-time adversity.
The wrath of Bill Belichick come back to haunt you.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Anyway, yeah, Cardona out, they'll be dealing with a new line long snapper today.
That's right.
Up on the line. Thank you, Bill. All right, let's get to Jermaine Wiggins and Coach Wiggy's keys.
What up? It's Wiggy here. My keys to the game, very simple. Let Drake May cook. I want to see him throw the football. I want to see you utilize his ability. So key number one is simple. Let him go out there and open up the playbook for him. So that's the number one key. I would make it all three, but I'm only going to make it the number one.
Well, that's nice of you, Wiggy, because it'd be hard to talk about the same key three times over and over again, but I appreciate that. With Wiggy there, I think we're all expecting to see that. With Stevenson not in the game today, you're going to see, I think, a more expanded passing game, which, looking back on the last couple of weeks here, doesn't seem like it's going to take a whole lot to expand this passing game.
No.
This passing game's been relatively simple. It's been relatively, and that's due in part to the way that Brissett played it. Jacoby Brissett's not the type of guy who's going to try and squeeze the ball into a tight window. We know that. So maybe it just, even with the offense running the same way it has been for the last couple of weeks, someone like May out there taking more chances, which is really what it's about. Brissett was very anti taking deep chances. It'll look different. It'll look different from what we've seen.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the offense will be, because it should look different. You're absolutely right. Jacoby Brissett does not attack down the field. Prior to the Miami game, he had thrown the ball more than 25 yards down the field 6 times, I believe it was, and he was 0-for-6. Drake May will not be 0-for-6 throwing the ball 25 yards down the field. That won't happen.
No, and it's interesting, too, because people talk about Brissett like he's got some noodle arm. He doesn't. Brissett has a pretty good arm.
Yeah, hurl it.
He can go downfield if he needs to. It just doesn't seem like there was ever a lot of great opportunities for it, for guys to even make their way down the field before the pass rush.
Well, he's just so risk averse to a fault, right?
That
it's because
too.
He doesn't want to throw a ball into a scenario under any circumstance where it could be intercepted. And so those deep balls are just kind of out of the question unless some guy's running completely free.
So I think you and I both agree that even if the stats kind of look like Brissett's stats today, that's okay, so long as it doesn't physically look like Jacoby Brissett out there. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed.
Even if the numbers are somewhat similar, and that's kind of what Vegas has them lined up for here, and I know that's just to get action on bets and stuff like that, but like, if you get 17 for 32 for 175 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. If it doesn't look like Brissett, it could be the same numbers. If it doesn't look like Brissett, that could be encouraging.
Yeah, especially when you mix in the running games and between Antonio Gibson and Drake May himself. Like, I think there's an opportunity there. As long as the offense is moving down the field and hopefully scoring points, the stat lines can be whatever the hell they want. Like, it doesn't matter to me. As long as the product looks good and there's moments from Drake May that I'm like, oh, we can build on that.
Yeah, and as far as Alex Van Pelt is concerned, I mean, in some ways, I kind of understand why he was hesitant to have May go out there and start, because, number one, it starts the clock on him, and this game today is going to be a referendum on him. People
Absolutely.
Aren't going to blame Drake May if he goes out there and has a bad game. They're going to blame the wide receivers, they'll blame the offensive line, and they'll blame Alex Van Pelt. I mean, that's a guarantee, I think. You know, like, they're gonna look at that, fans will look at that, people like us will look at that and say, hey, you know, this wasn't working with the other guy. We brought in the quarterback, we unwrapped our Christmas present here, and it's still not working. What the hell, man? You know, let's point the spotlight where it deserves to be. All right, let's get to our second key of the game.
Number two is put pressure on C.J. Stroud. You got to be able to get to him in the pocket. The Patriots haven't done a great job of that. This is a game where you got to be able to dial up pressure, win your one-on-one battles.
All right, Shime, is this the day where we see the Patriots pass rush finally become something here? It's been a tough season for them so far.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm not convinced they will, but this Texans offensive line hasn't been good so far this year. Running the football, they're getting no push outside of that week one where the Colts defense was just Swiss cheese and Joe Mixon was doing whatever he wanted to. Outside of that, this offensive line has been pretty bad for the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud has had to make a lot happen on his own here. So if there's a week you're going to get going, I think this could be it. Like, I'm not convinced that it will happen, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did.
Yeah, I guess the question is, who's going to do it? Because I heard Keon White this week say, yeah, you know, I know I'm getting a lot of penalties, but I don't care. I'm going to go out there and keep playing the same way. And I heard that, and I was like, great, Keon, that's great news. So you're just going to keep getting penalties, huh? Like, extending drives for these other teams. That's really great. I'm glad to hear that.
He did almost get a high five from Snoop Huntley.
That's true. That was funny when he did that. But, like, in general, I think that's a weird attitude to have when you're trying to win games with your defense, basically, when Brissett was out there. And I like Keon White. I said he was going to be the MVP of the team this year. But to see him being like, yeah, big deal, you know, drive extending penalties, that's no big deal, I got to keep playing my game. It's like, well, no, you don't have to play. You don't have to do that part of the game. It's one thing if you're chasing a guy down and you're trying to save a touchdown and you horse collar him, fine. I don't love that, but at least, you know, you're trying to save a TD. It's another thing when you're coming charging in on a guy and you go both arms down and hit him in the head, and it's like they're going to call that 100 times out of 100.
Yeah,
and that extended that drive, and it was a one score game, and it's like, Keon, you know, you gotta recognize that you can't play that way, and I'm not sure that he does.
No, I don't think he does at all. He's playing with reckless abandon at this point. And I think somebody needs to reel him in a little bit. I think that's a very big question for Jerod Mayo. Will he do that? I know he wants to be like their buddy and, you know, friendly coach, but when you need to be a disciplinarian, can you? I think that's still a big question.
Yeah, no question about it. You still got Godchow and Aquale up the middle. Jennings over on the other side there has been better, I think, at setting the edge than some of these other defensive ends and sort of elephant linebackers that they've had. Guys like Uche, guys like even Wives to an extent, I think, hasn't been great at that this year. But yeah, we'll see. I think that pass rush, this could be a big game for them, and they need a big game. They haven't had one yet this year. All right, key number three.
And number three, keys to the game, is you got to make sure, week in and week out, we've seen it do it, run the football, because what that's going to be able to do is open up that play action game where hopefully you'll be able to take shots with Drake May and you'll be able to see his arm strength and his ability to hit deep shots down the field.
All right, I'm all for that. I just don't know that this Texans team is going to believe you. What are they going to think? You're going to be handing the ball off 50 times? Like, no way. Now with Gibson and Hasty and what's the other? Terrell Jennings, an undrafted rookie? I don't even know who that guy is. He could walk into the room, sit down, and host with us right now, Sean. I have no idea who Terrell Jennings is. And maybe he's great. Maybe he'll be the next big thing.
Ooh, Florida A&M. Great.
Let's be honest here. I didn't even know there was a Florida A&M. I didn't even know that was a school. So, like,
see how good,
you know,
this guy was.
That's what we're dealing with.
225. He was a grad student. 673 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns at Florida A&M.
All right. I bet he tore it up for the Florida A&M. I don't even know what the name of what the mascot
they
is.
Look
I've
like,
never heard of that school before.
They look like some kind of viper or copperhead, some kind of snake.
Okay, well, there you go. Terrell Jennings and the Snakes, along with Hasty and Antonio Gibson. I mean, yeah, you want to run the ball. You always want to use the run to set up the play action. I just don't know if Houston's going to believe them.
Yeah, I don't either. You're going to have to be creative with your running game. But again, that's where I think Drake May comes in, right? Like, if he's part of the running game, it becomes far more dynamic, even without Ramondre Stevenson in the lineup.
How much do you want to see May run today?
Like, if I gave you a carries number, I'd say 7 or 8 times.
Okay.
Is probably right around the sweet spot for me. And 2 or 3 of those will probably be scrambles where they're not designed runs. They're kind of running out. He's just kind of running away from pressure, or he sees a lane and he's going to go get 5 yards. But I want to see at least 5 designed runs today.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. I'd like to see some RPO. I'd like to see that kind of thing.
Especially in the red zone. He is lethal in the red zone. I think that's where he can make his biggest impact.
You're all over the anytime touchdown for him today, right?
Oh, my God, touchdown. Yeah. On FanDuel, I think it was at plus 460, was at its peak. I have him to score the first touchdown of the game, rushing touchdown at 16-1. Like, I told Mego this earlier. I have bet probably an irresponsible amount of money on Drake May props and stuff today, but that's fine. I don't care. I'm betting with my heart. Every once in a while, you just kind of have to do it. So I am sending it to the moon and hoping my guy comes through.
You must have been listening to my FanDuel reads then, because I did all the over-under. Everything was Drake May related.
Over
passing yards, over rushing yards, anytime touchdown, all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, I had all for Drake May. I mean, come on. If it's not this week, then when? So there we go.
Amen.
So those are the keys to the game there from Coach Wiggy. Thank you very much, Coach Wiggy. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll come back and reset on the top story of the day. May Day here as we get ready for the debut of Drake May, the starter. And we'll also talk with Andy Hart at 12:30 from the Six Rings postgame show. And, of course, WEEI Afternoons with yours truly. That's all coming up here in the final hour. Final hour before May Day here on WEEI Football Sunday.